Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T, and of course, Con. Now we're slowly getting back to normal with the bye weeks. So only four teams this week: Browns, Chiefs, Patriots, and Jets. So we pretty much, besides Josh Gordon, lose no wide receivers, none loss at all. We still have plenty of players to replace, though. We'll surely finish up the show before tonight's thrilling Thursday night game between the Vikings and Redskins. Another subpar Thursday night matchup, huh, boys? But, and, of course, wow, stick around for Con's picks of the week. Con added the two extra games last week again, and even while getting – he got a little screwed over with Thad Lewis missing the Buffalo game. But still, even with that, a brilliant 5-2 on the week, he improved to a very healthy 27-19. So stick around. But before then, of course, let's get started on the show. And as we discussed, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We're taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. First game, Thursday night, Redskins at Vikings. All right, this is the Vikings at least. It looks like Christian Ponder is going to be starting again, second week in a row. I think they're trying to add some consistency to that quarterback position, which is good for the skill position players. Maybe they can, but then again, I mean, they're all in bad shape except for Adrian Peterson. You're really not starting anyone from this Vikings team, except Peterson. The good news for him, the Redskins give up more fantasy points to running backs than any other team. So, of course, you're starting AP anyway, and hopefully he could turn it around here. You know what I thought was interesting? Not really. I mean, in a bye week, if you're in a bind, Christian Ponder is actually tied with Cam Newton for most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback this year, which I had no clue, and he's obviously missed a few games too. So,
yeah, I think he had three in the game against the Browns.
It's just I'm sort of salvaging his season. I mean, he's still terrible. But anyway, the Redskins side of the ball, RG3, another good matchup for him as well. Last four quarterbacks to face the Vikings have combined for 9 total touchdowns. So you got to start him this week. I think he's a top 10 play this week. Alfred Morris, first 20-carry game of the year in week 9. So that's promising. At least he's getting a majority of the carries. Who was?
Yeah, I mean, he's producing, too. That's the most important part. I think he's found the end zone in 3 straight games now. You know, oh, no, I'm sorry. He didn't find the end zone 3 weeks ago when White Lou vultured 3 touchdowns away from him. But Morris is, you know, slowly becoming the workhorse that he was all year last year. So I would, you know, definitely start him with confidence, especially tonight. I mean, I think up until 2 weeks ago, I think the Vikings had given up most points to running backs, fantasy-wise, in the league. So, you know, I would definitely start Morris with confidence tonight. And another guy, you know, the Redskins actually have two more guys to start, too, Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed. Since the Redskins bye week, Jordan Reed leads all tight ends in targets, catches, and receiving yards. So, you know, he's definitely produced at an elite level. He's really been a top 5 tight end for, you know, a good 4 or 5 weeks now. And Garçon, while he's not finding the end zone, he's extremely consistent, especially for you, for those of you that play in PPR leagues. He has at least 5 catches in every game. You know, the touchdowns aren't there, but if he's catching this many balls, it's only a matter of time before he finds the end zone tonight. And I actually think it might be tonight.
Yeah, you obviously, as you said, you're starting all 3 of these guys. The only thing with Alfred Morris, not only did he lose 3 touchdowns to goal line or red zone carries to Roy Helu a few weeks ago, and now he lost Darryl Young last week, scoring 3 touchdowns. Neither Young or Helu is really worth starting. It's just kind of taking away from Morris, who's obviously the guy you want to own here. But, I mean, you're still starting him going forward, especially that he's the workhorse. So he's the guy you want to own. Move on to the 1 o'clock games with a little more fantasy relevance. Lions at Bears. Matthew Stafford now thrown for more than 350 yards in each of his last two games. I feel like we've been saying it all year. He's been extremely consistent. Now, Reggie Bush, on the other hand, he's been a little inconsistent, which partly because of injury, matchups, stuff like that. You know, the Lions, when they get behind, they like to throw the ball a lot more. But Bush, last time, he torched the Bears earlier this season, 18 carries for 139 yards. You can run on the Bears now. They're not the same defense they used to be. You're obviously starting Reggie Bush and even potentially Joyke Bell, their backup, if you need a running back play this week. Calvin Johnson, on the other hand, while Bush has this awesome matchup, Calvin Johnson, he's actually been shut down by Charles Tillman in the past. You're clearly starting Calvin Johnson if you do own him. But another, the value-wise, the wide receiver I like in this offense is Chris Durham. It will be another good play, secondary receiver. They score a good amount of points against Chicago this year. And
talk about value-wise, though, while you're drafting him.
I mean, you're obviously starting Calvin Johnson. I mean, like, from a lower-end guy who's a fringe even play. But, well, Nate Burleson's not back. It looks like he may be back next week, which is a nice little flyer. If you do need someone, a wide receiver to start, potential bye week next week, Nate Burleson might be good to go. And then again, that knocks down Chris Durham's value a lot. From a fantasy perspective, not so much. More real life, but Jay Cutler, he'll be questionable to play. I don't think it really matters.
No, report came out. He's playing.
He is playing now?
Without limitations, yes.
All right. Interesting. I thought they were going to hold him back. I mean, it is a big division matchup. I guess this can only be good for Marshall and Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't look bad, though, with McCown as a quarterback. McCown actually looked pretty good against the Packers. But, you know.
I think this helps Martellus Bennett more than anyone. I think Jay Cutler likes to throw the tight end, and he looked a little bit better with Cutler than McCown, but as I said, it's close enough. Alshon Jeffrey, 100 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns in 4 of his last 5. So from a guy that pretty much came up, you know, this whole run, his wide receiver 2 or 3 status, which he's kept up consistently over the past few weeks, has started against the Lions. Where he received, I forgot exactly what it was. It was something like, and you know, double-digit targets. So,
yeah, that huge game he had was against the Lions, right? The first one.
Yeah, against their secondary corners. So that may, and they might even, well, who knows? I think he's going to be a good play, and he's definitely a good start going forward from now on. So.
Yeah, and just you know, not that it needs to be said, but Matt Forte is a really strong play. This week, you know, he traditionally kills the Lions. I would put him as a top 3. Running back this week, actually. He has at least 117 total yards with a score and 2 straight against the Lions. And this is actually even more impressive. He has 120 yards or a touchdown in every single career game he's played against the Lions. So, you know, he's traditionally killed the Lions, and the Lions defense isn't all that great to begin with. So I would, you know, expect a really, really strong game from Matt Forte this week.
Yeah, it's not too far-fetched to say that Forte and Bush both land in the top 3 at the running back position this week.
Yeah.
Like both of them. Love both of them this week if you're starting up, you have them. Bills Steelers. Now, the big thing here, this is why not only fantasy football is so frustrating, yet interesting at the same time. It's just so, these statuses can fluctuate on a week-to-week basis, and C.J. Spiller is the main example for that. Just like weeks ago, what did we talk about last week? We were comparing him to guys like who? I mean, even lower than Ryan Matthews, Andre Ellington. I mean, 2 weeks ago I traded Ryan Matthews and Kiz Rogers for C.J. Spiller, acquired C.J. Spiller, and I got ripped off. But now all of a sudden he's clearly back on the running back 2 status. They kept him out for a week. He looks healthy, and that's the biggest thing. So maybe that injury was the only thing holding him back. Obviously, Fred Jackson still received more carries than C.J. Spiller, but I think this might be the second time all year that Spiller had more yards than him. Season best, 155 total yards for Spiller on 12 carries and 2 catches. So it's just really promising. Now we have to relook his status. Now C.J. Spiller, would you rather have the rest of the year, Spiller or Ray Rice?
Oh, Spiller, but that's because Ray Rice thinks.
Fair enough. I'm going with this, but would you rather have C.J. Spiller or an injured Arian Foster?
Oh, that's close. I mean, at this point of the year, it really, really depends on where you are in your league. You know, if I'm looking forward towards the playoffs, I'd probably rather
football. Well, that's not the answer I was looking for. You're right.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, I spent a lot of money in the fab budget this week on Michael Crabtree because in both my leagues, I basically locked up a playoff spot. I'm not looking at, you know, I could have went out and bought, let's say, Mike Brown from the Jaguars if I needed somebody to start this week, but I don't. I, you know, like I said, my playoff spot is locked up, so I'd rather try and spend the money on a difference maker for the playoffs. So that, I'm just saying, Spiller, do you think Spiller's a top 10 running back the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say just without the – probably not. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished there.
Do you think he outscores Fred Jackson the rest of the way?
Yeah. Yes, I'd rather have C.J. Spiller than Fred Jackson the rest of the way. My
I think it's close. I think it's really close.
Yeah, no, it'd definitely be close. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
And I also do think it's very possible that both of them are fantasy relevant the rest of the way, even if they're both playing. I think Buffalo runs the ball enough to the point where, you know, they could both be fantasy relevant.
All right. Zach Stacy or C.J. Spiller the rest of the way?
Zach Stacy.
All right. He's obviously the guy there, so
that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Stacy's just—he's a workhorse. He's been running the ball a ton, so and you know that's a volume play.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps that EJ Manuel is making his return this game too, which should not only help Spiller but help out the entire offense, especially Stevie Johnson. And Stevie Johnson now—I think he goes back to where we kind of had him in the preseason, where he was a wide receiver two. Definitely at lowest wide receiver three. And now even with Robert Woods going to be out this week, it looks like Stevie Johnson is going to get the majority. He's not ruled out this week. He's doubtful. It looks like Stevie Johnson is going to – I actually like him this week.
I mean, he's a lot better with EJ Manuel. Just I don't know if EJ Manuel looks for him more or it's just the fact that EJ Manuel is by far the most talented quarterback on the roster.
Right.
But, you know. But, you know, he's got two touchdowns in the four games that EJ Manuel started. So, he's back in that wide receiver three category.
Now, as far as we're talking about talented quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger had a monster game. Almost, you know, they were kind of in catch-up mode for the majority of the game. I think they let up franchise 55 points to the Patriots. So, Ben Roethlisberger, 400-yard, four-touchdown game against the Pats, which is impressive, but... You know, the Bills aren't much. Bills on defense is a pretty good matchup too. So he's not a terrible start this week. Le'Veon Bell has just another 99 total yards. He actually has 99 total yards or a touchdown in three straight games. So he's just been worth starting pretty much every single week except for one since he came back.
Yeah, he's proved me wrong. I did not think Le'Veon Bell was going to be a good fantasy option this year just because I really didn't believe. In the Steelers' offensive line, but, you know, the line's a little bit improved. David DeCastro, last year's first-round pick, has kind of solidified the guard position, and this is without Pouncey. So, but, you know, he's definitely in that conversation of, he's a high-end running back, too, the rest of the way.
Yeah, he's done well despite that line, which just shows, I guess, he's a little more talented than both of us thought. I thought his situation was going to be better than his talent. Until we saw how bad that offensive line was and how much they struggled when they didn't have a consistent running back there. Then again, it was Isaac Redmond, Jonathan Dwyer, and Felix Jones. Maybe they were just that terrible. They were the situation that the Bills' quarterbacks were in. They're just that bad that it's not going to work. But so anyway, I do like Bell as a top 15 running back for the remainder of the season. Antonio Brown's just been a wide receiver one. He's going to stay that way. But Emmanuel Sanders now targeted 11 times in each of the last two games, where he had a total of 14 catches for 186 yards and a touchdown. So as a wide receiver, too, I mean, a lot of this is a product of Roethlisberger's huge game against the Patriots, so don't look for this every week from Sanders, but a nice PPR bye-week fill-in.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that the Steelers are not going to be playing catch-up against the Bills, you know, like...
No, probably not, which definitely doesn't bode well for Jericho Koshery. You know, three touchdowns last week against the Patriots. I think we could both agree that those were sort of fluky, actually very fluky. Not even sort of. I'm not even going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. Anyway, Eagles-Packers. Now, Nick Foles tied tied the NFL record with 7 touchdown passes against the Raiders. So 3 of them went to Riley Cooper, who now in Foles is 3 starts. Cooper has 15 catches for 347 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, baby.
So it's obviously pretty impressive, and it's obviously fairly skewed by the 3 touchdown performance last week. How many yards did he even have? I haven't written down. Does anyone even know?
It was over 150. I know that. I mean, I could look it up real quick. It was a lot, though. I mean, what do you have, like 15 targets or something like that?
I don't have any of it written down. So.
Yeah, I'll look it up. But it was, let's put it this way. It was a monster game without the touchdowns.
So he's definitely he's definitely worth picking up. Who would you rather have for the remainder of the season, Marcus Colson or Riley Cooper?
If you told me right now, if Foles is starting the rest of the year, I would think I'd have Riley Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, Colson's questionable and may not even play. I don't know. I think I'd still rather have Colson, as you said before, depending on your situation, playoff-wise. But Cooper's actually been very productive. The whole passing game's been productive, and that's kind of cut into LeSean McCoy, who hasn't rushed for 60 yards in 3 straight games now. And hasn't rushed for a touchdown in 4, so he's struggling a little bit after he got off to the hot start. I think he'll be okay, especially against the Packers, who now obviously have nothing to do with their defense, but huge, huge Aaron Rodgers injury. And what does this do for the entire offense?
Just said Riley Cooper had 5 for 139 and 3 touchdowns.
That's what the loss of Aaron Rodgers does to the Green Bay offense?
I told you I was going to look it up. It's tough to say. Jordy Nelson still saw 8 targets last week with Seneca Wallace in the game. So, Wallace is definitely going to start, he's going to try to target his biggest playmaker. I feel like that happens a lot when a backup quarterback comes in or whatever. It's never a good thing for – I'm sorry, we actually have a caller if you want to take him.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I think
you're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, guys, this is Pat Burian, Landy Jersey.
Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Good, guys. I just wanted to call in. You guys were talking about Riley Cooper, and I called you guys earlier in the year, actually, before the start of the season, and you guys laughed at me about drafting Riley Cooper, just like my friends laugh at me in my voice. But I just want you guys to ask you a question. Who would you rather have, Riley Cooper or Larry Fitzgerald?
I think I'd have to go with Fitz on that one, Pat.
Yeah, I don't think it's too close either. I think I'd rather have Larry Fitzgerald, despite his quarterback struggles.
Yeah,
Foles is a little inconsistent.
I would disagree with that. I think Cooper's going to keep on going up to wide receiver 2 status. I mean, you got Nick Foles versus Carson Palmer. Who would you rather have there? Give me Foles and give me Cooper.
That's an interesting perspective. So, now, Pat, how many fantasy leagues do you do?
Just one.
Just one? What's your record? What's your record on that one
team? We're having a tough year again this year for the 8th straight year in a row. We're 2-7.
Are you 2-7?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's a tough break. I mean, I guess you could hope that Riley Cooper brings you out of that hole and, maybe you make a late start for the playoffs.
Well, I think I really think we have a chance here with Cooper.
Yeah,
You know what? I mean, look at Riley Cooper. Look where he was in the preseason when this whole debacle went down. You thought things couldn't possibly get any worse, and now look at him. Now he's almost at wide receiver 2 status. So things can only go up now, Pat.
Exactly. Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job.
Pat. Things can only go up except for the grass on people's lawns because we have great people like Pat who's going to keep it low and keep the length of the grass really short. So. Riley Cooper, yeah, I think we both agree that we're going to start with Fitz. Go with Fitz over Riley Cooper there. As we were talking about before.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the whole thing. I think it just hurts. It kills the wide receivers now with Seneca Wallace starting at quarterback. I think he's going to start this week, but they are going to work out Matt Flynn soon, which you could upgrade them a little bit. At least we know Flynn is capable with his, 2 starts with the Packers. He's capable of getting the ball to these receivers who were playmakers as well. Jordy Nelson, James Jones came back, did not suffer a setback. They brought him back slowly. So,
I will say this, as I was saying, like, I think sometimes when you have, you know, a wide receiver that's just so much better than the rest of your wide receivers, like Jordy Nelson is in Green Bay with Cobb and James Jones out, sometimes, you know, like, the backup quarterback will try to force the ball into the elite playmakers. So it might not hurt Jordy Nelson as much as you would think. You know, especially
well,
Jordy Nelson,
James
the guy that's so good after the catch.
Yeah, but Jones is back now, so.
Well, he's questionable this week, but I still think Jordy Nelson is a lot better than James Jones.
No, he played last week. He's fine. No, he didn't suffer. He'll play again. I mean, I think Jordy Nelson's now he's the number one guy there, but he's the one who has the most to lose with the loss of Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think it affects Eddie Lacy too much. Eddie Lacy, a career high 150 yards last week. Now, over the last five games, he actually leads the NFL in rushing yards with 545. So he's taken at least 22 carries in every game. He's been extremely consistent. This might change if they do find themselves behind in the majority of the games going forward, which is very possible with Seneca Wallace at quarterback. So,
yeah, I mean, you would think though that they're going to, you know, try to control the clock and pound Lacy with Rodgers out. Another question is, with Seneca Wallace back there, do the team start loading up the box to stop Lacy?
Right, it's definitely possible. But then you think they're gonna use him more in order to, you know, he's probably their biggest weapon now, because you limit the production of Jordy Nelson and James Jones just by having Wallace at quarterback. But Wallace is more of a, I mean, it's not saying much because he's not a good thrower at all, but he can also run the ball. So we've seen the pattern of where running quarterbacks can also help out the running backs in the respective running game. So just knock everybody down a notch. As far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, you still got to hold on to him. There's a chance he makes it back for the playoffs. It's a typical 4 to 6 week injury, although it's only a small crack, so it could be sooner than that. But
I just have a feeling that you're going to see him sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
maybe because I own him in a lot of leagues. But
well, the thing that hurts him that is that it's a 4 week mark. It's a Thanksgiving game, so it's only like a 3.5 week mark because he has that Thursday game instead of waiting till Sunday. So I expect to see him after that. That would be my guess. But either way, you're still holding on to him. Seahawks, Falcons. So Russell Wilson has multiple passing touchdowns, three straight games, and four of his last five. So he's come on of late, kind of like RG3. They both started a little bit slow, these rushing quarterbacks. So, you know what? I think we have – this might be our biggest fan.
We just lost him, yeah.
He'll call back. He's listening. So, well, we know we saved a spot for him at the end of the show, so maybe he's waiting for that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, Russell Wilson, as I said, even with the offensive line really struggling, which has kind of hurt Marshawn Lynch, but they're throwing the ball a little bit more. Percy Harvin, we have a clear updated status on him. Is he going to make it back for this week? I think they're going
to I don't think he is expected to play this week.
Yeah, there's really no reason to rush him back. That would definitely help Russell Wilson, though.
Yeah, I mean, like both wide receivers in this game, Harvin and Roddy White, you might have to have them on the bench, you know, for a big game and then start starting.
Right, just to see. I think White will be fine. I think they learned their lesson with that. They weren't going to rush him back and you know, injure him further like they did in the beginning of the year. Anyway, our caller actually made it back, so.
Oh,
hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Hey, I just have a question. So, can you explain to me why Minnesota has so many primetime games this year? I mean, I know they were pretty good. They were a playoff team last year, but it seems like every week they're a primetime team. Is there a reason for that? Do you know?
To be honest, I really can't explain it. They obviously make the schedule before the season starts. The only thing I can think of.
Fuck you! That's why I think so. Suck my dick. I think that's the reason they're on every week.
You're a lot more clever the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Shouting it. At least you were funny the last 2 weeks. Now you're just shouting obscenities.
Fuck you.
Yeah, at least you had a story or something.
We did have a story. It was about the Vikings. So fuck off.
That's not even fantasy related.
Oh, lick my asshole.
I don't know why you would ask that question.
Can I co-host the rest of the show?
Oh, you asked that last week, too. Now you're just really not being clever at all.
Please.
Hey, come on. You want to – are you a Vikings fan?
I think the last two weeks
you brought up Dallas, right?
I didn't call last week, so shut the fuck up.
Oh, you weren't the same – you weren't Batman from last week?
No.
How'd that go, by the way? Did you end up finding anyone at the bar?
No, that was probably my friend Batman.
That wasn't me.
I have more of a life than him.
Are you Robin?
No. Suck my dick. That's who I am.
Oh, come on. All right, I don't think we can even keep him on anymore.
Yeah.
Really
on, let
not
me co-host, you motherfuckers.
All right, you know what? We'll leave you on, but if you act appropriately,
right.
But you just can't yell out in the middle of our
right,
commentary, okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. We'll keep you on.
All
so
right.
Anyway, what do you think about Roddy White this week? Do you think he should start him, even though despite the injury?
Well, I've had him on my fantasy team for quite a while now, and he's really fucking costing me a lot of games, so I'm not too happy about that. They say he's not going to come back for another 2 weeks.
Have you been starting him? He's going to play this week.
I haven't been starting. He's been sitting on my bench. I've had to put scrubs in. It's been I'm like 3-6 now because he's sucked this year.
You know, if you've been listening to the show, though, you would have found a decent replacement for him, and I think he could have been all right.
No, I don't think your show would have helped for the shitty receivers remaining in my league.
Well, what if he got? Why didn't you pick up Harry Douglas? Harry Douglas has 80 plus yards in 3 straight games now.
Well, I didn't pick Harry Douglas because then I'd have to propose a trade. That's a little different.
Why? How deep is your league?
It's 12 teams, but there's a lot of positions available. There's a lot of positions. There's 2 flex positions and there's 2 receiver positions.
Oh yeah, that is. I
didn't make the rules. I don't like them.
But then again, that's the same as. I'm starting Harry Douglas in the one league I'm in, the big league I'm in, and I picked him up at about that time, actually, right after Julio Jones got hurt, I believe it was. So, I mean, I can understand why he wouldn't have been available.
I filter through receivers. I've gone through Stephen Hill of the Jets, Eddie Royal of the Chargers. I've been filtering through.
Yeah.
Marvin Jones on the bench. That's what I'm down to.
All right, well, I mean, stick around, and we'll hopefully find someone for you as we go through the games. Next, we have the Bengals versus Ravens. I mean, hopefully you picked up Marvin Jones when we told you to. We actually mentioned him on the show before he had his big 4 touchdown game.
Yeah, I've had him for a while.
Marvin Jones, yeah, he's actually not – I mean, he did look good last week in the Thursday night game. He had he had the touchdown called back due to the penalty.
Yeah, that was
so he's 40, still pretty promising.
He had 4 catches for 60 yards, and plus that 35 yard touchdown called back on basically a bogus holding call. But
yeah, speaking of the guy stealing some of his wide receiver production, AJ Green's obviously a stud. Gio Bernard is, I think, he was limited in practice this week. He should be
expected to play.
Yeah.
You know, Andy Dalton is just Jekyll and Hyde. In his last 6 games, he has 3 games with 20-plus points and 3 games with 8 points or less. So, you know, it's just impossible to depend on any of the Bengals wide receivers except for A.J. Green because he's a stud. But, you know, if Andy Green comes out and looks good 1 week, Marvin Jones is probably going to have a big week. If he doesn't, you know, Marvin Jones is a secondary wide receiver on that team, and it's going to be tough to rely on him.
Right.
Then we have another caller.
Yeah, the guy we have on right now, Batman's friend. What's your first name, just so we can distinguish between you
Joseph.
And the next guy who's about to come on? Joseph?
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Just hold on a second.
All right.
We have the other caller now.
Hey, guys. Ryan Horahan again from Wayne.
Hey, Ryan.
I'm
how are you?
Guys. Hey, I'm good. I'm at the gym. I'm doing a set right now, but I wanted to call in real quick. I got a question about Gio Bernard. Now, I have a lot of running backs on my team, and I really need a quarterback. And I want to trade Gio Bernard for a guy who has an excess quarterback on his team. I'm trying to get Andrew Luck, but this guy who I'm offering the trade, who, by the way, has tremendous muscle tone, will not reply to my trade. So what do you think about my trade of Gio Bernard for Andrew Luck? Is that fair?
Well, who's his other
quarterback? No, it's not fair. I mean, Andrew Luck's got a pretty big dick, but, I mean, you can't really base it on that, on things like that. He's had a good year, but if you want to go on cock size, then Bernard's got him beat. That's probably why he's not accepting your trade.
I wasn't looking for cock size, but just more like muscle tone. Do you have good muscle tone?
Well, yeah, but that's not relevant because I'm not getting traded in any leagues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we did just pick you up from the free agency of hosts. So you
yeah.
were hopefully
I'm pretty,
a little
I'm pretty entertaining. I'm pretty entertaining. I'm going to take over the rating soon.
Oh, I know, and that's why we picked you up. It's because your personality has nothing to do with dong size or muscle tone. So
yeah,
you need to cut another aspect.
Or an ability to pick up an extra wide receiver. In the
right. Definitely don't cut it there.
Well, that's not my fault. That's just limited availability, all right? My league's set up so retarded that I can't pick up any. You should see how bad the scoring system is in my league.
Well, you know what you should do? I'm put you aside, Joe. Ryan, thanks for calling in. What you should do, I think you should have the owner of Andrew Luck call in and, you know, just try to get a different perspective on that trade, and I think we'll try to sway him in your favor. I think this is, what, the fourth or fifth time you've called us now, so I would definitely stick up for you and try to help you out there. Anyway, let's get back on track. We were talking about the Ravens-Bengals game. There's not much else to do here. Ray Rice is just been struggling all year.
I mean,
what
about how do you feel about, like, you know, he's obviously your first round pick if you have him on your team. Are you continuing to start Ray Rice going forward?
Yeah, you have to unless you have a better option, someone like, well, we could do the same thing with Ray Rice that we talked about with C.J. Stroller.
So say, like, I drafted Ray Rice and I have a guy like Fred Jackson.
Well, I think you're starting Fred Jackson.
Right, and now I picked up Andre Ellington. Are you starting Andre Ellington over Ray Rice? I think you have to at this point.
Well, looks like Mendenhall is going to be back for this week. This week I would go with Rice just because you know he's going to get more touches and carries than Ellington. Ellington's obviously the more explosive player, and he doesn't need the amount of carries or touches that Ray Rice does in order to be productive now. But let's say I had another one in mind, too. Who would you rather have for the rest of the season, Chris Johnson or Ray Rice?
Oh, Chris Johnson, that's a question for me. I don't even think that's close anymore. I've lost so much faith in Ray Rice.
I mean, no one. Who has had faith in Chris Johnson for
He's averaging apparently Kant has extreme feelings about Ray Rice. But, you know, I mean, Chris Johnson tends to do this every year. I feel like he comes along in the second half of the year. And I think that was the beginning of that last week. But Ray Rice is averaging 2.5 yards a carry. Not even like, you know.
Yeah, their whole offense has been pretty bad. Marlon Brown, 2 touchdowns last week. He's come back to life. It looks like he's going to, you know, he's not struggled, but just back down to earth. Torrey Smith, who had just been, he started in almost wide receiver one status, and now he's not so
yeah,
much
still
anymore.
In the air.
I think we kind of expected that, though. You know, he's your classic deep threat. He's going to be a little inconsistent.
Hello?
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, I just wanted to know if I was still in the air or not.
Yeah, Joe, you got to be more polite than that. I mean, we're having you on here. We're going to make you the third wheel, but you can't be talking.
Joe, ready? From now on, if you can hear us, that means you're on the air.
All right, sorry. Yeah, I know. I'm being an asshole. I'm just interrupting while you guys are talking. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay, Joe.
Joe, while we're at it, where are you from?
Northern New Jersey. I'm not a Giants fan nor a Jets fan. I'm actually an Eagles fan.
So you're from where?
North New Jersey?
Okay. Area sounds familiar. Anyway,
I'm like 10 minutes from Giants game.
10 minutes from Princeton?
No. Well, no, that's where I'm originally from, but right now I live right around Giants Stadium, MetLife Stadium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I'm not
that's
Giants.
Random.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty close to you. Let's move on to the next game. Rams at Colts. Well, Zach Stacy. Now, it was Ryan Matthews as of last week, but now Zach Stacy is the second running back to have over 100 yards in back-to-back games this year, and he actually did it at the 125-yard plateau. So he had his first rushing touchdowns of the year in Week 9. He's just been phenomenal. He's been a top-five running back the last few weeks, and he's their clear-cut guy. Darrell Richardson will be back, but he's nothing more than a change of pace, just to give Zach Stacy a breather. As long as Stacy can stay healthy, I think he'll be fine. Obviously, his ankle injury is not bothering him. He did this against Seattle, too, which Seattle is not the same defense. You know, rushing, they've allowed rushing yards this, Well, as of late, recently, their passing game is still phenomenal. But Zach Stacy, are you putting him as a top 10 running back going forward?
Not top 10, but right around there, top 12, I would say.
He's definitely
top
got
14.
A close.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to rattle off names, but I could probably name 10
guys. Do you have Le'Veon Bell or Zach Stacy for the rest of the year?
Zach Stacy.
Okay, I'd probably pick Bell, but Zach Stacy looks good. There's obviously no denying that. We just spoke about Andrew Luck, 3 scores in back-to-back games. And now the big story in this game, T.Y. Hilton, the first game without Reggie Wayne, 7 catches for 121 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Before this game, Houston allowed just 2 wide receiver touchdowns the entire season. And T.Y. Hilton had 3 on his own in this one game. Just completely torched them. Is he a wide receiver 1? We got it. And this goes to, we said this about C.J. Spiller, too, just how much things can change on a week-to-week basis. So, now, T.Y. Hilton, would you rather, I was going to say Larry Fitzgerald, but I think we both say T.Y. Hilton. Who would you rather have? Josh Gordon or T.Y. Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, that was pretty quick.
T.Y. Hilton has top 10 potential. The only reason why I wouldn't put him in there is that I want to see it for like a week or two more.
Yeah,
just to make sure it wasn't fluke.
He's had these games before, of course, but
right.
I'm just trying to get an idea of what we think about T.Y. Hilton. So
I mean, if the Rams if the Colts want to be a power running team, but let's face it, that you know it's not working out for them that way. If they start throwing the ball a lot, yes, T.Y. Hilton is number 1 wide receiver.
All right, one more: T.Y. Hilton or Vincent Jackson the rest of the way?
T.Y. Hilton.
All right, especially in PPR, I guess you could say, even though we'll talk about Jackson later. He's been getting a monster amount of targets. And
I just don't trust Glennon to be consistent.
But they're throwing the ball a ton, and that's the same
right.
reason why in this Jaguars-Titans game, now Cecil Shorts with Justin Blackman done for the season, just good while he was here. Thanks for playing. But now Cecil Shorts, he actually led the NFL in targets while I think it was the first 4 or 5 weeks. While Blackman was suspended, so just expect to see that again. Chad Henne will be, barring injury, he's probably going to be the starting quarterback for the remainder of the year. And a nice little sleeper. Hey, Joe, you still there?
Yeah.
Joe, go pick up Mike Brown, the number 2 wide receiver for the Jaguars, who over the last 2 weeks targeted 14 times, for 8 of them for 163 yards and a touchdown. So now he's the only other option they have here. Besides, they're obviously going to throw the ball a ton to Cecil Shorts, but I like Mike Brown, especially in PPR leagues. A nice little play. Can you go check if he's available?
Yeah, I'm actually logging on to my team right now.
All right, go check that out, and while you're doing that, we'll discuss the rest of the game. I think Jake Locker has a bounce-back week against the Jaguars. Obviously, this is a phenomenal matchup for any quarterback against Jacksonville. And T, I think you just picked up the Titans defense, correct? Going against Jacksonville, it's an awesome play for streamers.
It did, yes. It's probably the best play of the week, actually, and they're not owned in that many leagues, so, you know, if you have, like, in my case, I had Kansas City's defense on a bye, you know, I dropped Kansas City's defense because they have a very hard schedule coming up, but I was able to pick up the Titans defense, so.
Yeah, Titans defense, great play this week. Also a great play for Chris Johnson, who not only got a season-best 150 yards on two rushing touchdowns last week against the Rams, and now goes against the Jaguars, who give up a league-worst 4.7 yards per carry. So I like Chris Johnson again this week. Maybe he jumps into running back two for the time being before dropping down to a flex at best, which is his normal status.
And not only that, Sean Green could be a decent play. You know, if the Titans run away with this game, you know, they're not going to run Chris Johnson 40 times. You know, he'll probably be capped at 25 to 27 carries. And Sean Green, not only is a goal line back, but I think it's possible that the Titans run the ball 40 times this week, given Sean Green 15 carries or so.
That should become a segment on our show. It's just us talking about the backup running back or whoever's playing the Jaguars and say, oh, they may be able to get garbage time carries this week. I feel like we've talked about it every week, but it's kind of legit.
Yeah.
Especially with Sean Green now, you know, got 10 touches last week, and they want to give him more going forward. So even without the garbage, even if it's a close game, plus he's going to get the goal line carry. So I like Green now. That's pretty much it from Tennessee. Kendall Wright, is worth starting. He's probably the only Tennessee wide receiver worth owning. Nate Washington back to zero catches last week.
So, yeah, kind of surprised me. I thought Nate Washington could have a nice little game last week, but
he's never been a model of consistency. So.
No, yeah.
Raiders Giants. Now, Giants, this is also shocking. Giants have not allowed an offensive touchdown or a field goal in 9 straight quarters. So
yeah,
over 2 games. Granted, I mean, they played against Josh Freeman and a combination of Michael Vick and Matt Barkley, but they're still NFL quarterbacks. And I mean, that was Josh Freeman's first game with Minnesota too. And he was concussed in the middle of the game and kept playing, but whatever, that's not the point.
Okay.
It's still pretty impressive.
No points is no points.
Yeah, well, is the Giants defense worth picking up against the Raiders who are, now Terrell Pryor is going to play. He's been struggling throwing the ball. He does get a lot of rushing yards, so he's good from a quarterback perspective. But that doesn't hurt a fantasy defense too much when a quarterback runs on them.
No, like the reason Terrell Pryor is still starting is because of the rushing yards. His floor is so high. Like he didn't throw for a touchdown last week, and I think he threw for 2 picks, and I still think he had 15 points.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like no other quarterback in the league is really going to do that. You can basically pencil in Terrell Pryor for 14 or 15 points, and then anything on top of that is if he actually has success passing the ball, which doesn't happen too often, but he's still getting a ton of points running the ball.
Right, this helps the Giants as well, too, is Darren McFadden's going to be out. Looks like he's going to be out, hurt the same hamstring that he hurt last week. So that means Rashad Jennings is going to get the start again, which he did a really good job in limited time last game. Rushed 15 times for 102 yards and a touchdown. And more importantly, 7 catches for 74 yards in relief. So, I mean, this was against the Eagles, which the Eagles can't really stop anybody. But, anyways, it's a nice little play, and he's going to get the majority of the touches. Marcel Reese is another guy who might be worth starting in this game. I think it'll be a little high scoring. Now, as we're talking about running backs, Andre Brown makes his 2013 debut after a broken leg. It looks like they're gonna ease him back slowly, but this is a nice little start for him going against Oakland. I think he could be okay. He'll probably split carries with Peyton Hillis for the majority of the game. Now Hillis is finally getting into shape after really not practicing much.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Brown, I mean, I think he's going to get more carries than Hillis, you know.
Yeah, it depends what shape he's in.
Yeah, but I would, you know, I just expect a huge game out of Eli and the receivers. I mean, Riley Cooper and DeSean Jackson both just torched this Oakland defense. Nick Foles just tied an NFL record against this Oakland defense. And the Raiders actually have a penchant for giving up tight ends to a touchdown to secondary wide receivers. So I think Nick's might actually break his non-touchdown streak in this game.
The Raiders defense who allow the 7 touchdown
right.
passes to Nick Foles.
And Reuben Randall has, you know, while he's not always consistent, he does have a nose for the end zone. So it actually wouldn't surprise me if all 3 Giants wide receivers get in the end zone this week. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, what's more amazing, the Giants not giving up a touchdown in 9 quarters or Eli Manning not having a touchdown?
In that same span? Is that what it is? Yeah, okay. I mean, to be honest, that's actually kind of surprising, especially since he was on pace to break the interception record. But either way, he's not a terrible play this week from a fantasy perspective, especially in 2 quarterback leagues. So let's move on. Panthers at 49ers. Carolina defense, me and T talked about this before the show. Carolina defense has been, I don't know the exact numbers on it, but I'm pretty sure they've been the highest scoring in the past 5 weeks. They've had nice matchups. And, I mean, the 49ers, they're getting back to their dominant running game, but they're nothing special, and they're not going to put up too many points. So if you do have Carolina, you've seen better matchups, but I still like them this week. The whole team's really come on as of late. Cam Newton, multiple scores in 3 of his last 4 games. Mike Tolbert. He's with Jonathan Stewart back. Jonathan Stewart actually led led them with yards last week. Only played 19 snaps and had 65 total yards. So it's going to be three guys taking production away from each other. But I think the guy you really want to start from now on is Mike Tolbert, who led the running backs in snaps played, and he had the lone touchdown once again. And now he has a touchdown in four straight weeks.
Yeah, we actually talked about this. You know, I think all three guys are going to see about the same amount of action. It's just that Mike Tolbert is the most likely to get into the end zone. Not only does he have a touchdown four straight weeks, he actually has 11 touchdowns in 11 games dating back to last year for the Panthers. So, you know, that's pretty consistent over a decent amount of time.
Yeah, it's not fluky at all.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on to the rest of the Panthers are, Greg Olsen is actually, he looks like he's past his ankle injury or foot injury or whatever it was. He scored in the past 2 weeks. He had 60 yards and a touchdown last week. He's probably back to being, that low-end tight end one. But, as far as the Panthers go, you know, if you've been listening, you know the deal with their running backs. You're starting Cam Newton in any league. You know, the Niners actually aren't as bad of a matchup as people think. They've given up, some points this year that they're not as good defensively, especially against the pass, as they have been in the past 2 years. But, over to the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick has looked better in recent weeks. He's got a rushing touchdown in each of his last two games, and three in the past 2 weeks, and he's got 120 rushing yards in the past 2 weeks. So, he looks like he's getting back to that read option, running the ball a little bit more type of guy. So, I would look for Kaepernick to actually. I think he could have a decent game even against this Carolina Panthers defense, who. It's tough to say because Carolina's been playing really well, but they haven't exactly had a tough schedule over the past couple weeks. So I think this is going to be a good matchup to see if Kaepernick can have a good game against a good defense.
Yeah, it definitely helps him out. Not that I would really pick him off, but Mario Manningham will make his return this week. So it kind of adds a second.
He's worth a stash, though.
Yeah, and especially in deeper leagues. That's another wide receiver you could look at, Joe. Maybe Mario Manningham. Just don't count on any production this week, but you never know. The number two guy there, but then again, I mean, even the number one guy there, Bolden's done. He doesn't have a touchdown catch in four straight and just one in his last seven, so there's just not much to be had from a passing perspective in San Francisco these days. So that's just worth, it could definitely help him out. Texans at Cardinals. This is actually, we keep bringing up defenses and streaming defenses. There's a lot to talk about this week because there's no clear-cut favorite. And this is actually a game that I liked from both ends, from both teams, actually, the Texans defense and the Cardinals defense, where Texans defense, we mentioned, they've been great against the pass, but got a torch last week especially by T.Y. Hilton. And now, but even the Cardinals defense has been pretty good. Patrick Peterson has only allowed one touchdown all year, and that was to Calvin Johnson, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me what defense I like better between these 2 weeks, I think I would take the Cardinals at home over the Texans.
Yeah, but they're still starting Texans, starting Case Keenum, who hasn't looked terrible at all, but it doesn't help that Arian Foster is going to be out now. Looks
Ben
like
Tate's
going to be out. Ben Tate's clearly the guy here. So he's actually a nice little star. This is what, if he drafted Ben Tate, which I think, the majority of leagues, he had to be the highest handcuffed running back, correct? Just off the top of your head. I can't see anyone going ahead of him, really. And this is what you took him for. It's not the greatest of matchups, but you're obviously still starting him just like as if you would have started Arian Foster if he was playing this game.
Yeah, speaking of, impressive too, like, he ran the ball 22 times with four cracked ribs. I mean, geez.
Yeah, and a respectable 81 yards against the Colts defense, which really isn't too shabby. But now, for the year, it goes against the Cardinals. Cardinals are the fourth best rushing defense in the league. But, like I said, he's going to get the goal line carries. They don't have much else there. So if he carried 22 times with Arian Foster in the game, don't be surprised. He's going to be healthier. Don't be surprised to see 25 or more. So Andre Johnson, 9 of 13 targets caught. 9 catches on 13 targets from Keenum, 229 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, like you tried to explain with Seneca Wallace forcing the ball to Jordy Nelson, that's kind of what it looks like what Keenum's doing with his star, Andre Johnson. So as long as he's healthy, they actually gave him a red zone target, which is good because if you followed Andre Johnson or owned Andre Johnson, it's very frustrating when they get inside the 20. They do not throw him the ball. But maybe that'll change with Keenum at the helm.
Yeah, don't you kind of get the feeling that Keenum's going to come back down to earth a little bit? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been spectacular. I think it's been refreshing to see that he's kind of, this has happened with a lot of teams, kind of like Jason Campbell taking over there and even Brian Hoyer when it originally started. But, you know, quarterback and Mike Glennon as well, these quarterbacks are being thrown in there just, you know, with not much experience at all, and they're keeping up the fantasy production of their skill players. I can't think of one situation. Maybe I think Green Bay might be the most drastic now, but I can't think of one situation where a quarterback change has really hindered the play of any specific player too much.
Give me a minute, I'll probably think of one, but
I'm sure it's happened. But I mean, there's actually been a decent amount of quarterback changes.
Does Larry
well.
Fitzgerald count just
well,
for years?
Well, that's how it's always been. It's not like, you know, we never had to change the worry on him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you keep thinking about that. Well, I bring up Andre Ellington, who last week Rashard Mendenhall out of the game, and I don't understand. We still, I think, fifth week in a row, we're saying, well, I don't understand why Andre Ellington is not the number one guy. With Mendenhall out, Andre Ellington, number one overall fantasy back with 162 total yards and a score for this week. Unfortunately, season high, only 17 touches. But as we said before, it doesn't take him. He's just kind of like Chris Johnson. I think he's a better version of Chris Johnson. If he gets the ball in space, he'll be extremely explosive. And I think it's the game. He had that one long touchdown run.
Yeah, last game.
Yeah, so, you know, while he put up a huge fantasy game, it's not too, you know, you're not too happy about the fact that he wasn't consistent throughout the entire game. But then again, this is what he does. He's a big play running back. He's going to catch balls out of the backfield as well.
The bottom line is he's been a top, you know, in the last 3 weeks when Mendenhall has been limited or hurt, Andre Ellington has been a top 12 running back two of those 3 weeks. So, you know, that's what I meant when I brought up Ray Rice before. I think you have to treat Andre Ellington like a top 15 running back.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Mendenhall's going to be back this week, so that's gonna hurt him a little bit. But, I mean, talent-wise, I think he's a top 15. From fantasy perspective,
Ellington's not like, to me it'd be different if, let's say, Zach Stacy was in Arizona, and Stacy is doing his, you know, his damage on 25 to 30 carries or whatever, you know, if he was like a workhorse back. Ellington only needs 17 to 20 touches to do his damage, and I think he can still see that amount of touches even with Mendenhall back.
Yeah, I guess you're right, and this is not a bad matchup. Houston, not great at defending the run, so. I don't think it goes without saying that we'd rather start Ellington over Mendenhall, even if you told me that Mendenhall was going to get more touches than Ellington. At one point in the season, it might still even be true. Mendenhall was the lowest in points per touch. So anyway, Broncos Chargers, one of the late games. Not even going to talk about the Denver players. If you have them, you're starting them. For San Diego, now Danny Woodhead. He led the Chargers running backs with 46 snaps, only 16 touches, but a nice 99 total yards and 7 catches. So just doing what he does. Ryan Matthews, 7 carries for 34 yards on only 15 snaps after playing 35 or more in the last three. But it's just really hard to make up this situation. I think Woodhead is the safer play in all formats, even though Matthews has been better. For the
Definitely.
Past two
I mean, you can make an argument that Danny Woodhead's one of the most consistent running backs in the league this year.
Yeah, he really has been. And I like, this is an awesome matchup just because you like to think just the same way that we talk about playing against the Jaguars defense. If you play against the Broncos defense, you're going to be behind or at least trying to keep up and match Peyton Manning. So Phillip Rivers is going to throw the ball a ton. Danny Woodhead's the receiving back. He's going to get more of the work than Ryan Matthews. at San Diego. There's, what's the spread of this game?
Even 7.
That's it, 7 points. All right, so it'll be closer than we think. But still, I like Woodhead better than Matthews this week and for the rest of the season.
The Chargers are notoriously pretty good at home, so that's probably why the spread's a little low.
Plus, I mean, Denver coming off their bye. Let's see if that has anything to do with it. Keenan Allen, at least 6 catches and 100 yards and a touchdown in 3 of his last 4. So this isn't a fluke. This isn't,
yeah,
this isn't the Eddie Royal.
Who'd rather have going for T.Y. Hilton or Keenan Allen?
T.Y. Hilton. I think I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Hilton. So, I mean, Keenan Allen, yeah, he's been good, and he's the guy that Rivers is looking to. But I just, I mean, if you don't trust T.Y. Hilton, it's hard to trust Keenan Allen more, the rookie, who, and I think it's a part of it. If Keenan Allen, him being so good, is that taking away from Antonio Gates, who now maybe coincidentally hasn't scored in 4 straight games, where Keenan Allen has been getting in the end zone fairly easily, actually. So, I mean, Gates is still getting the targets and the catches. Of course, has a nice matchup against Denver. But that's a Keenan Allen. I'd still rather have T.Y. But so Keenan Allen or Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon.
All right, so that puts
I think all the guys you mentioned, Josh Gordon, T.Y. Hilton, Keenan Allen, from here on out are in that 10 to 15 range.
Yeah, I think Gordon's the most talented. He's just in the worst situation, even though Campbell is keeping him afloat. Gordon, of course, has to buy this week, and he's the only wide receiver you're really missing out on. But anyway, unless you're hey, Joe, you still there? Did you pick up
yeah,
the end up picking up Mike Brown?
Wait, no, actually, you know what's weird? As bad as my receivers are, my running back situation is actually worse because I had Arian Foster. So
did you not know that he was out this game?
No. I mean, like, again, throughout the year, I've been filtering, and now I just need – I'm looking at the free agents, though, and I need your opinion on who I should pick up. So we have – he's on a bye week, but I have Bilal Powell on the Jets, Starks, Daniel Thomas, Snelling, Ronnie Hillman, Daryl Richardson. That's pretty much it. Who would you go with?
I'm hoping these are the free agents.
No,
you
sorted
backups.
You sorted it by fantasy points.
Yeah, I sorted it by fantasy points.
Yeah, you can't do that. Are you on Yahoo?
Yeah, that's usually how I do it. But I guess that's not the best way.
So go up top. On the third toolbar, click. And go all the way down to week 10 projected. Do that and then sort it. You can't do it by past points scored because a lot of those guys are either injured or not starting anymore.
Okay.
You do that and you get the week 10 projections and let me know and we'll start talking about the Cowboys Saints, which is this might be one of the more entertaining games of the week. Kind of like reminds me of the Cowboys Broncos game. Two of the best quarterbacks in the league, more explosive quarterbacks in the league. Obviously, Drew Brees at home is a much better quarterback, and Darren Sproles cleared to play after suffering a concussion and leaving the game pretty early. It was in the first drive, I think, right? Yeah, so now Pierre Thomas has become the number one running back there, at least 80 total yards in 4 straight games. He did benefit from Sproles being out that entire game, but as I said, Sproles will be back practicing in full already. Now, Lance Moore led the Saints receivers in targets with 10, and with 6 catches for 70 yards. And Marcus Colson hasn't scored since week 1, and even when he does, he did sit out last week, and now he's questionable to play again. So he's one of those Roddy White types, or at least Roddy White, we still think he could be productive when he does play. I wouldn't play Colson if he is healthy. No, just because, unless they come out and say he's feeling much better and he's just guaranteed go on Sunday, and I'll think about it.
If you're
in
a standard league, Marquise Colson is probable.
Yeah, I just picked him up in a league, actually, I mean, only because I think is I had an extra spot. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that he was a free agent. Someone did drop him, and he was available to me. So, anyway, Cowboys, Tony Romo, multiple touchdowns in 5 of his last 7 games, and 17 total touchdowns during that span. DeMarco Murray, while I think it's going to be kind of the same situation. Cowboys are going to be throwing the ball the entire game. So DeMarco Murray, who only received 4 carries last game, did get a nice, respectable 31 yards on those 4 carries. It was against the Vikings, but anyway, they pulled out a win at the very last second, which kind of saved the Cowboys' season. Not saved the Cowboys' season, but they would have been reeling hard if they had lost to Minnesota at home, especially after what happened the week before, losing to Detroit. Now, we talked about this guy, Terrence Williams, for weeks now, and how he's, you know, kind of potentially a wide receiver too. I think that he just relies way too much on big plays. He scored in 4 of his last 5 games, but in 3 of those games has 2 catches or less. Terrence Williams. So,
yeah, I was just gonna say he's the equivalent of a touchdown dependent running back. You know.
Yeah, kind of. He's still someone worth starting because he has been very good, and the points are there.
And you got to figure both teams are just going to be throwing the ball all over this game.
It's kind of like, and this is what I brought up with Jordan Reed, how Jordan Reed was catching an extremely high percentage of his targets, most of the passes that went his way. And this is what had happened with Terrence Williams over the first few weeks when he was installed as the starter when Miles Austin got hurt, who Miles Austin looks like he's going to be out again. And it's not sustainable. Sort of the same. And this is why Reed didn't have as good of a game last week, potentially, and Terrence Williams is also coming back down to earth now, too. And, you know, they're also starting to realize you have to put more attention to Terrence Williams. He's pretty good. So you can't just double-team Dez Bryant. And then, again, there's just so many weapons in this offense. Jason Witten, 8 catches for 102 yards and a touchdown, where he had just 80 yards and 3 previous combined. So someone's going to beat you in this offense. It's too hard to say who, but, you know, kind of like you said with the Giants, I wouldn't be surprised if all 3 of these guys not only scored a touchdown but put up big games from a fantasy outlook. So let's go to our last game, another boring Monday night matchup. What is going on? You and Joe, you said it with the Vikings, why they have so many primetime games. Why is I think this is the Bucs' at least 2nd primetime game this year. And what's with the terrible matchups on Thursday and Monday night?
Yeah.
They've been pretty horrible. So Miami just an absolute mess right now. Absolute mess. I don't think it's even it goes without saying, clearly, but it just are you starting I mean their offensive line not only loses potentially their best offensive tackle, which hurts everybody on the offense, but they just have to be exhausted with the media. It's obviously cutting to their practice time. The coach doesn't have his head in the game. I mean, at least Lamar Miller had 20 touches last game, 110 total yards in each of his last 2. So set a career high in rushing yards last week.
He looked good, too. That was, you know, the most important
thing. Yeah, and he's back to getting more carries than Daniel Thomas, but who knows how long that's going to last for. You just really can't trust anyone in this offense. Lamar Miller, if you're desperate, not even desperate, he's a flex play. Even a guy as consistent as Charles Clay has been in the beginning of the season now hasn't reached 40 yards receiving in 3 straight. So don't look for him to come back to relevance anytime soon for the Buccaneers. Mike Glennon, who hasn't been terrible, and did you think this is one of our examples? Did you think of any quarterback who's hurt the production of anyone? Have you come up with that? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't really think about it. I just said I was going to think about it. I didn't really think about it.
I was going to say it. I mean, not that the
Rams. How has Calvin done when Stafford's been hurt? I guess that was before Stafford really got really good, though, right?
Wait, what?
Well, Stafford used to get hurt all the time. Calvin didn't.
Oh, I'm talking about this year. And,
this year?
I mean, Kellen Clemens came in for the Rams, and not that any of those receivers are any good to begin
yeah.
with. Maybe it hurts Austin Pettis a little bit, but the only thing that did was they had no good fantasy players on that offense, and now all of a sudden Zach Stacy is a must-start every week.
Yeah, it actually stopped you from starting Rams on receivers just because there was potential there when Sam Bradford was there. And now, you know what I mean? Like, it was almost like addition by subtraction, but...
Yeah, so anyway, now it just is... this is depressing. This is my this has to be my worst call of the year. Mike James looks good. He's had an awesome game. 28 carry, 158 yards, and a throwing touchdown against
Tim Tebow-esque.
Yeah, against Seattle, no less. So, what is this? I mean, the reason we didn't rush the waiver wire to pick up Mike James is because everyone just assumed that Doug Martin is better, and maybe he still is. I don't know what it is. Mike James has been easily more productive than him in his two starts, and he's looked pretty good while doing it. So Mike James, I think he jumps up to running back too. I think he has a decent matchup against the Dolphins this week, who have a much better secondary than they do. That they have much better time stopping the pass than they do stopping the run, which isn't good for Vincent Jackson, who not only saw four targets in Week 9, held his season-low two catches and 11 yards, but now he faces a Miami team that's allowed only one touchdown to receivers all year long. So that doesn't really bode well for Mike Glennon either. But then again, now it's worth mentioning again. I think we talked about Timothy Wright a few times over the past couple weeks. Touchdown each of his last two games, and since Week 6 has actually been the number 5 overall tight end, and that's without many injuries. I mean, who got hurt out of tight ends? I guess just Julius Thomas as the biggest one worth mentioning, who was ahead of Tim Wright. So, and the big thing, especially in wide receiver leagues, Joe, you paying attention?
No, I'm listening to every word.
In Yahoo leagues, Timothy Wright also qualifies as a wide receiver. So while we talk about him as a tight end, he plays tight end.
I actually just picked him up the other day. I swear to God.
Yeah, it's not a terrible play again. Even though Miami, as I mentioned, they've only allowed one wide receiving touchdown all season long. I think, you know what, that's only to wide receivers. So that's not even counting tight ends.
You know what's good
so
about
I think
him?
You should be right.
Yeah, it was good because I have Witten, but he's on a bye week next week, so I picked up Wright. But you can play him at wide receiver and tight end, so that's actually a big benefit of having him too.
Yeah, that's somewhat underrated, so he might be a good guy to hold on to for now. That pretty much covers the whole. Joe, are you a gambler?
Yeah, not very successful, but yeah, I am.
You know why? You know what? I don't understand why you're not successful, because you've been listening to the show pretty consistently, and our boy Comp, we bring him in for the end of the show. He's been on fire this year, especially last week. Another 5-2 week. He's 27-19 on the year. Someone figure out the percentages in their head. It's impressive. So Joe, I'm actually just like the rest of us. I'm going to put you on mute for a second while.
All right, welcome back. As we head into November, the getting down to the nitty-gritty of the football season, but there's still about half a season left. On to week 10, we're coming off a great week, 5-2. As Cousin Mo stated before, had a bad break with the Bills-Chiefs game. Sad Lewis wasn't able to go, so that Jeff Tool, but he is a tool, that is exactly what he is. You know, completely lost me my bet, screwed me out of a 6-1 record, but I digress. Real quick, I just want to pay homage to my upset pick of the week, the New York Jets. I told you we didn't need the 6 points, and as a matter of fact, the Saints are the ones who need the 6 points. And I just wanted to let everyone know that not only did I say they would win plus six, I picked them straight up. So paying homage to my gangrene as they get this much-needed bye week. But on to more important matters. Here we are with week 10's picks. We got 7 picks here, and we're going to kick things off with tonight. The Minnesota Vikings only, yes, you heard me right, 2.5-point underdogs to the Washington Redskins. Redskins, big win last week over the Chargers, you know, getting back into that NFC East hunt. And, I mean, when I opened my eyes and saw this line, you know, I had to take a double take. I couldn't believe the Redskins were only 2.5-point favorites. So I certainly smell something fishy. I like the Vikings tonight in the Dome. It should be a very high-scoring game. I'm thinking, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if both teams are at least in the upper 20s. I could see a 31-28 type game. But I do like the Vikings. I think, you know, they're a much better team than their dome. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's not saying much since they're one of the worst teams in football. But, you know, I think they'll come out with a good effort on national TV and knock off the Redskins and, you know, send them to a brutal loss, to say the least. And on we go to Sunday. I like the Buffalo Bills getting the 3 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers. As Cousin Mo mentioned before, E.J. Manuel will be back under center for the Bills. Thank goodness. I mean, you know, Doug Marrone must have gray hairs by now with that Tool character. But I do like the Bills, the Steelers. I mean, they allowed 55 points last week. I know I understand it's Tom Brady, but my God. You know, I just think at this point in time, although it's in Pittsburgh, the Bills are probably the better football team because, let's be honest, you know, the Bills are what? They got 4 wins. You know, you could easily flip that around. They lost by a field goal to New England the first week. They had a couple other tough losses. I mean, so I like the Bills in this one. I think they're going to win straight up, but take the 3 points just to be safe. On we go to, I think this is a 4 o'clock start. I like the Texans getting the 1 against the Cardinals. I picked the Texans last week. They were one of my favorite picks. Needless to say, you know, the dagger went right through my heart, blowing that 21-3 lead. Basically, my, you know, case, put it this way, I mean, both teams have pretty solid defenses. The Cardinals is probably, you know, a tad bit better. But, I mean, you know, let's be honest. The Cardinals' offense is pedestrian at best. They got some good skilled players in Ellington and Fitzgerald. But, you know, I mean, Carson Palmer is just not the guy to get it done. I like what I saw in Keenum last week. He's got a strong arm. He seems pretty confident. You know, he hooked up with Andre Johnson quite a bit last week. You know, despite the running backs being out, I think they'll play a pretty solid game and go into Arizona and win. You know, despite the 2-6 record, I still think they're, you know, decent team. Obviously not good, but, you know, not as bad as the record says they are. So I like the Texans in that one. On we go to back to the 1 o'clock games. I like the Ravens getting the 1 against the Bengals in a very key divisional matchup. The Ravens are sitting here at 3-5, and, you know, I don't know when the last time a defending Super Bowl champion missed the playoffs, but there's a good chance the Ravens are going to miss it if they don't win this game. Oh, I didn't even mean to do that. So the Ravens need this game. They're a much, much better home team than they are a road team. I mean, everyone was counting the Bengals as a Super Bowl contender after the dismantling of the Jets. I think it's safe to say those talks quickly dissolved after Andy Dalton's pedestrian performance last week. So, you know, the Ravens need this game a lot more than the Bengals do. You know, they still hook up later in the year. I mean, the Ravens, they simply can't go to 3-6 if they want any hope of the wild card. You know, the Jets have 5 wins. The Titans are a game above 500. I think there's another. The Chargers are still in the mix. So the Ravens need this game if they want any hope for the rest of their season. And on we go. Who could believe this line? If I told you this 2 weeks ago, the Eagles only 1-point underdogs in Lambeau Field, and the man of the hour in Philadelphia, Nick Foles, threw a whopping 7 touchdown passes last week. Is he going to throw 7 again? No, absolutely not. But Packers' defense is, to be honest, it's one of the worst in the league. And I expect more of the same. I think the Eagles are going to score, you know, at least in the upper 20s. And it's amazing how the Packers go from one of the best offenses in the NFL to, you know, a one-dimensional offense, really, with Seneca Wallace. Or, I mean, I know they recently signed Matt Flynn. Regardless of who runs the show, at this point, they're a running football team. I mean, you know, without Aaron Rodgers, they're nothing. So I like the Eagles to go into Lambeau and smack them around a little bit. I mean, it could be, you know, somewhat close game, but without Aaron Rodgers, the Eagles are for sure the, you know, the better team in this one. I expect them to win. And we go to the final pick before we get to the upset pick. I like the Tampa Bay Bucks to probably get their first win of the year. They're getting 2.5 points over the Miami Dolphins. I mean, as Cousin Mo said before, the Dolphins are just disaster with this whole fiasco with this incognito character going on. I mean, it's really been the story of the sports week, sad to say, but, you know, it's what most of the talk on the radio airwaves have been. You know, and let's not forget Tampa Bay last week. We mentioned Mike James had a huge game last week. Maybe, you know, he'll provide a little spark to the Bucks offense. You know, they got to win sometime. Let's be real. And this is probably one of their best chances to win at home against the, you know, in peril Miami Dolphins. They almost went up to Seattle last week and won. Monday Night Football, you know, they're at home. I expect them to beat the Miami Dolphins. I do. I think, you know, Dolphins don't have many, you know, weapons. I expect the Bucks to win this game. And on we go to the upset pick. Just a note, I mean, I'm not picking them to win this game, but I won't be surprised if they do win. But we are going to take them with the 6 points. It may seem, you know, borderline insane, but we're taking the Atlanta Falcons, getting the 6 points against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, you know, on paper, you say, what are you on right now, crystal meth, you know, some kind of drug? But go. I've been saying this all year long. Go look at Seattle's road games throughout the year. They got by the skin of their teeth against the St. Louis Rams on Monday night. You know, like a month or two back, they barely got by. If it wasn't for a Richard Sherman pick six against the Texans. And although it was at home, I mean, you got to be, I mean, yeah, of course they took them lightly. You shouldn't be concerned. They're 8-1. I mean, they're still one of the best football teams in the league. But the fact that the Bucs hung with them in Seattle, I mean, got to at least, you know, raise your eyebrows a little bit. I mean, so, I mean, Falcons are getting Roddy White back. They're still a pretty good home team. I know their defense is, you know, as porous as they come, but have you watched Seattle's offense on the road, especially that Monday Night Football game against the Rams? That was the worst I've seen Russell Wilson and the Seattle offense look in quite some time. So I think the Falcons cover the spread. I'm not going to say they win the game, but I think Seattle will get by the skin of their teeth again, but the Falcons will cover the 6 points. That is for certain. And just to read off all the picks once more for anyone who missed out, here we are. We got the Vikings plus 2.5 tonight against the Redskins. We have the Bills plus 3 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We have the Houston Texans plus 1 over the Cardinals. We have the Baltimore Ravens plus 1 over the Cincinnati Bengals. We have the Eagles plus 1 over the Packers. And we have the Bucks plus 2.5 over the Miami Dolphins. And for the final pick, the Falcons getting the 6 over the Seahawks. Those are the 7 picks. I don't know what I'm feeling about this week. I'm feeling another 5-2 week, though. What do you think, Cousin Mo?
I've said it in recent weeks too. It's just the way you say it, I can kind of tell how your picks are going to go. And this week, it sounds more like a 2-5 than a 5-2.
Oh, that would be.
And that's not even a knock on you. I mean, you seem like you know what you're doing, and then just because you're not too enthusiastic about what you just spouted out there. And that doesn't make me sound confident. If you can't be confident in your own pick, then how am I supposed to be confident in it?
It's a fair point, but we'll do the talking on Sunday, folks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Is that the new routine? You're gonna do 7 picks from now on, 7 games from now? I think are you getting overly confident because you've had such a good year?
No. I think today, this week was a really tough week. I mean, you know, in the obvious games, you know, the spreads were pretty outlandish. I mean, I wanted to take the Giants, to be honest, but I mean, just the 9.5 points scared me off. Bad as the Raiders were last week.
That's
just
about 9.5 for them.
Yeah, I was debating taking the Giants.
Look, hey, we'll let you pick 8 games if you want. You want to go with it, or are you going to hold off for now?
Oh, my. We'll ask Chase. T, you want me to throw the Giants on there? Yes. Geez, hey.
What was that?
The Giants fan has spoken. T says no. I am not putting the Giants on that piece of paper. Because if the Giants lose this game, you know whose fault it's going to be. Moi.
You're the only one who gets the demerit for that. So, but anyway, you need to show the type of confidence that T showed in giving the answer to that question. So anyone. I think that should cover it. We went over all the games. Best of luck in the upcoming weekend. That's all the time we have today. This is Mo for T and Con, the Monday Morning Hangover. Oh, yeah, I forgot Joe. Joe left us a little early. I think he had things to do. But, Joe, that was another – we had that other pickup for him. What was that at the end of the game? Oh, we had Tim Wright for him, too. I had a question for him, but anyway, he disappeared early. Joe, we'll talk to you again next week. Everyone have a good night. We don't play, we take it to the high. M-I-A, take it to the high. That's the way we take it to the high. Take it to the high, take it to the high.